Psalm 111 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Praise ye the Lord. Praise is something that ought to be a part of every believer's life. It is only fitting for believers, for those that have been saved by the blood of Christ, and have all their sins washed away and cleansed, should have lives that are filled with praise for the one who has purchased their redemption. But you know, tonight there are enemies of praise in our lives. There are things that hinder praise from taking place in a believer's life. And I wonder tonight, as we look at these four enemies of praise, are these enemies of praise in your life, and are they hindering you from properly praising the great God that we serve? In Psalm 106, in verse number 12, Psalm 106, you can turn there. Psalm 106 in verse number 12, the Word of God states, "Then believed they his words, they sang his praise." Verse number 13, Psalm 106, verse 13. "They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea." The first enemy of praise that I'd like us to see this evening is found in verse number 13. It says, "They soon forgat his works." Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, a great enemy of praise in our lives. What did the Israelites do? I mean, God had delivered them from the Red Sea, an amazing deliverance. I mean, imagine walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. You know, the Bible talks about, uses the word congealed, I think it is, in Exodus chapter, is it 14 or 15, when they sing the song. And imagine those walls of water. And it's like they thickened, you know, like jelly, they were congealed. And, you know, walking across that. And, you know, imagine you're, you know, being a child and just looking at what's taking place. Amazing. And not only that, but they get across, the water comes back down while all the Egyptians are in the midst of it and they're all gone. But what does it say? They soon forget. They forgot what God had done. And not very soon after that, and if you go to Exodus chapter 15, what were they doing? I mean, God had just provided this amazing deliverance. God had just provided this amazing deliverance. And what did they do? Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 24. So earlier in chapter 15, they are singing the praises of God and how he delivered them. Verse 8 is the verse that says, "And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." And it says here in verse number 24, let's begin in verse 23. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" So very soon after that, what are they doing? They are complaining. You know, it says in Psalm 106, they forget his works. Go to Exodus 16. And the whole verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Forgetfulness, a great enemy of praise. You know, they complained here, and they were complaining against Moses and against Aaron, but who were they really direct? Who really was this complaining directed against? Verse number 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. They were murmuring against the Lord. Forgetfulness. They forgot what God had done. They were doubting God's ability to work. And yes, you know, a couple million people, if there was around 2 million people going through the desert or going through the wilderness, it would require a vast amount of water, not just the people, but they had all sorts of animals. You know, you could imagine maybe all the, you know, the cows bellowing, you know, whatever kind of animals they, you know, the animals they had, maybe the sheep bleeding. They needed water. And, you know, they probably needed it fairly quickly. You know, a couple million people, 2 million people would require a lot of water. They couldn't just get 60 tanker trucks to come out to the desert, you know, pick up the phone and let's get a bunch of tanker trucks here. What they could have done, though, was gone to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, we need your help. You know, you just brought us across that Red Sea, and we know that you didn't bring us across that Red Sea for us to die in the wilderness, and we know that you can provide for us. But they forgot his working. I wonder, have you forgotten God's working in your life? Maybe think back to the revival meetings in October. And how easy is it for us to forget, you know, what God did in our lives? Think maybe in the missions conference. God did something in your life, but it's what? It's easy to forget. You know, think back maybe vacation Bible school. Think back just very recently, family day. You know, God has worked in your life, but have you forgotten? When you forget about how God has worked, it can very easily cut off praise from happening like it ought in your life. And what happened in the children of Israel's life when, in these verses, when they weren't praising God, what were they doing? They were complaining. You know, when we aren't living in the realm of praise, it's so easy for us to complain. Have you forgotten what God has done? You know, young people, have you forgotten maybe how much your parents have done for you? And have you found yourself complaining? So we find the first enemy of praise is forgetfulness. They soon forget his works. And we head back to Psalm 106. We'll look at the second enemy. It says, they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. We find the second enemy of praise is impatience. You know, we want something now. They waited not for his counsel. You know, you can imagine they needed water, or maybe they wanted food. And when did they want it? They wanted it now. Instead of what? Waiting for God. Instead of waiting for God's answer, they wanted something right away. You know, when something doesn't go your way, how do you respond? Do you wait? You know, do you want that answer right away from the Lord? You know, young person, do you want that now? You know, how many people have gotten their lives into big trouble because they didn't want to wait for the right one that God had for them in marriage? Impatience. In Psalm chapter 40, And verse number 1, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And what was this praise here result of? It was a result of his patience. You know, tonight, are you willing to patiently wait on God? Or do you want what you want right now? Are you willing to wait for his will to be accomplished? Psalm number 27, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you willing to have that patience tonight? Are you falling prey to the enemy of praise, impatience? The children of Israel, instead of coming to the Lord, instead of seeking his counsel, Lord, what should we do in this situation? We need water. We need you to provide. They complain. The third enemy of praise we find here, verse number 14. We find discontentment. It says, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Discontentment. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Matthew Henry stated in his commentary, what is asked in passion is often given in wrath. You know, the children of Israel, they were discontent. One of the things they were discontent about was the amount of choices available. You know, God provided them with manna. He provided them with exactly what they needed to sustain them. Think of when they were traveling through the desert and their clothes, their shoes didn't what? They didn't wear out. God was able to miraculously keep all those things what? Keep them going for them so they can make it all the way through that time period, those that needed it. But we find, if we go to Numbers chapter 11, you know, the people weren't satisfied. They were discontent with what God had provided. And in Numbers chapter 11, in verse number 4, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They were dissatisfied with the amount of choices that they had available. You know, the fact is that most of us, if we had the amount of choices that they had available to them, what do you think we would be doing? You know, complaining. And yet we have a myriad of choices in a way, and you know, comparatively speaking, now we don't have manna available. But we have so many things to be thankful for, but yet, you know, many times we become dissatisfied. And they were discontent with what God had for them, even though God was going to perfectly provide for every need that they had. Discontentment is an enemy of praise. Eugene Peterson, in one of his messages, stated, if you find it difficult to pray, begin to give thanks, and you will have an ocean in which to swim. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to praise God for, but our discontentment is an enemy of praise. The verse I read in Psalm 111, I'm going to read the verse 1 and verse 2. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." It says, "The works of the Lord are great." It says, "Sought out of all them that," what? "That have pleasure therein." Now, do you find pleasure in the Lord? Are you satisfied with God? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Discontentment is the enemy, one of the enemies of praise. And if we are not content in our lives, we will not be praising God like we ought to. You know, this evening, do you have a hard time when you come to church, opening your mouth and singing? Could it be a result of your lack of contentment in your life? The children of Israel were discontent with what they had. They wanted more choices. But not only were they dissatisfied with their choices, they were all, some of them were also dissatisfied with their position. In Psalm 106, it says here, "They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." You know, we don't always know what's good. We don't know many times what we need, but God does know. And they ended up having leanness in their soul. "They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord." In Numbers 16, talks about how they came to Aaron, Moses and Aaron. And they were dissatisfied. You know, they said, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. You know, these people had no idea that Moses and Aaron were what? They were been specially chosen by God for the position that they had. It was a great responsibility. And they also, the Levites, those that were Levites, had been chosen by God for an, also for a special position of serving God. You know, are you dissatisfied with the position that God has for you in your life? It will what? It will limit our praise to Him. The fourth enemy of praise, we'll look in Psalm 106. It says, "The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram." Before I get to the fourth enemy, let me just pause very quickly. Notice what the result was in each. If you look at each one of these cases here, you know, their impatience, their dissatisfaction, and then we'll see their false worship. That's point number four. I guess I gave it to you here. What was the result? Now, maybe it didn't happen the first time when they were complaining about the food. Well, it did happen when they complained about the food and they wanted flesh. Every time people ended up what? People ended up dying. You know, it could be serious allowing these enemies to come into our life. These were not light. These were not things that God took lightly. They were very serious things, and people ended up dying because of them. The fourth enemy, says verse 18, "A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt." Find the fourth enemy of praise is false worship. It says, "Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass." False worship. They completely miss you. We completely miss praise when we worship God falsely. You know, what is praise all about? It's about magnifying God for who He is. But if you're not worshiping God in truth, if you're not worshiping God according to the truth of the Word of God, if you're not worshiping God based upon who He is, then you're not magnifying Him. You're not truly praising Him. You know, there's so many people out there that are deceived. They think they're offering praise, but they're not, because it's false worship. You can't magnify God unless you're accurately portraying who God is. And that's why the right kind of worship is so important. The Bible says, God said in Isaiah 42 and verse 8 that He would not give His glory unto another. False worship is an enemy of praise. And it's so important that we have the right kind of worship in our lives. Otherwise, we will not be worshiping God. You know, even you look at false worship, what happened in that instance? People died there too. Praise is so important to our lives. It can be such a key in keeping us close to the Lord. But yet, there are enemies of praise. Discontentment. False worship. Impatience. And simply forgetfulness. That will hinder praise from having the part that God wants it to have in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that You would work in each one of our hearts tonight. And Lord, if we would just stop to think, Lord, there is so much that we have to praise You for. And Lord, even in Philippians 4, we are commanded, Lord, to bring our requests before You. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that You would help each one of us to allow praise to fill our lives. And Lord, that You would protect us from these enemies that would hinder that praise from taking place. Lord, may You forgive us for our lack of praise. And Lord, I pray, even right now in our hearts, that You would work. Lord, that we would begin to really see You for who You are. Lord, we thank You tonight for how gracious and merciful You've been to us. Lord, we thank You for the great privilege and freedom that we have to be able to worship You in this country. And Lord, I pray, even as we go throughout our day, Lord, that there would be a difference in our lives, that people would notice a difference. Lord, simply because our hearts are filled with joy and gladness. Thinking, as we think and dwell upon, Lord, Your goodness to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.